بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحديث التاسع عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يسأل الرجل فيما ضرب امرأته. رواه أبو داود وغيره. Still discussing the same hadith, which is the last hadith in this chapter, and that Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has brought this hadith in this chapter of muraqabah, that is to meditate, ponder that Allah Ta'ala is present with a person all the time. So this has got great relationship with this chapter, that when a person has to reprimand his wife, has to correct her, he should never ever forget that Allah Ta'ala is watching him, that he cannot do anything just as he wants to, just because he is angry, because she has done something wrong, and now he takes advantage and he deals with her as he feels like. That is not permitted. She is also the bandi, the bondswoman of Allah Ta'ala, and there is a necessity to correct whatever wrong she has done, and that should be done also in the proper way. So remember always, Allah Ta'ala is watching you, Allah is with you all the time. Also, as it is said, that if we take advantage and we abuse our wives, our spouses, and she turns around and sleeps and complains to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah is on her part, then a person stands no chance in this world of any good whatsoever, and even less in the year after. So therefore, we should be always conscious of that. And at the same time, as we had explained, this is when the environment is of an Islamic environment, then this hadith can be understood properly. But when we are living in this Western society and the norms of the Western society, then it is difficult to understand this, where in such a condition the wife retaliates also. She fights back, she becomes abusive. And there are so many cases where the wives hit their husbands, threaten to hit them, to walk out of the house. And unfortunately, we are seeing those days where mothers are prepared to abandon their children also, and just for their freedom, they are prepared to walk out. This is all the evil consequences of this Western way of life, where their university degrees, they feel they are independent, and they feel they want their freedom, and they have to enjoy life. So they don't want to be living subjugated to the husband. They want to do as they please. So this career type of woman, which is alien to Islam, is not, this hadith cannot be understood in that context. In an Islamic context, it will be understood where she is subservient, she wants to make her home, she is concerned of the pleasure of Allah. In her mind also is the presence of Allah, that I must not do anything wrong, and I have done something wrong, then I should be corrected with that. So all that has to be taken into account. Then we can understand that when a husband reprimands his wife and even gives her that very light beating, just with a tap with his hand or with a miswak, then he will not be questioned for that on the day of Qiyamah. In fact, it will be a source of reward for him. So the commentary of this hadith, we will do a little bit of that. This hadith needs to be understood in its proper context, which we have been trying to do, and may Allah give us the proper understanding. Allah Ta'ala has granted the husband the responsibility of seeing to the moral and spiritual growth of the wife and family. The husband is responsible. كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Each one of you is a shepherd and will be asked about his herd. The husband will be asked about his family. So when the family, especially referring here to the wife, and even of course by extension to the children, when they do wrong, it is the duty of the husband, and he should not shirk his duties. He should correct it. But in correcting also, he should do it in the correct way. And how Islam is taught, that way he should choose, and he should remain within his limits. He has to ensure that they practice upon the laws of the Sharia by utilizing various means of teaching and encouragement. That is very important. It is not only the husband's duty, as we think today, to provide for the family, to see that they have a roof over their head, that their needs of food, clothing, etc. is done. Or, and perhaps education, whether we give them the wrong education and we thinking we have fulfilled our duties, that is not sufficient. But the tarbiyat of the children, to give them a proper Islamic upbringing, that is very important. And also we should understand the child that is 5 years old today, after 50 years he is going to be 55. And at that time, if we did not give him a proper upbringing, then perhaps he will curse us at that time. If he understands that now what actually life is, and I should have been going towards Allah, and I should have taken the right education, and we gave them the wrong education, and we brought them up wrongly, then we will be responsible. That is, if he becomes conscious in this world, or she becomes conscious. Otherwise, in the Akhirah, definitely everyone will see clearly, and there then they will hold us by our throats and say that we did not bring them up properly, we did not give them the proper teaching and upbringing. So therefore it is important that we understand that we have to encourage them on deen, and that is our first priority. More than what it is our duty to provide shelter, food, clothing, we should see that we give them iman and Islam, which is by far superior than these worldly things. And by the barakat of that, Allah will see to all these worldly needs also. And the husband then, the head of the family, may reprimand them within the boundaries of Islamic law if they choose to pursue the wrong path. So this hadith refers to that when they break the laws and they go beyond the boundaries of Islamic law, then it is not only permissible, but the duty of the husband that he corrects them. And in fact, it comes in the hadith also that there are great du'as for that person who keeps a whip hanging in the house. And how beautiful the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not that you use the whip, but just that it is hanging there is a great deterrent for doing wrong. That all in the family know that we could be punished if we do wrong. So just the presence of it, just like in a broader sense, in any country where there is the death penalty, though it might not be exercised, but just that it is permissible, that is a great deterrent for people for doing wrong. But where there is no death penalty, and presently where the laws are in favor of the criminals, so we see that how bold and courageous they have become in committing crime, because the law is also in their favor. If the law is against them, that will be a great deterrent to keep them away from doing all wrong. And as with the present violence that is carrying or that happened, etc., there also very sadly we hear people who are in the government who say that people must not take the law in their own hands, and the police and the government does nothing about it. In other words, what they are saying, we must sit as sitting ducks and let anyone come and do as they want to. So when that is the case, we are emboldening the wrongdoers, the looters, etc. And then the righteous citizens have to suffer the consequences. So this is totally alien to Islam, to common sense, and to the correct way. Islamic teachings are absolutely essential, and that if to have a correct society, to have a correct country, to have a correct government, Islamic laws are absolutely necessary. And it is for us to practice them in our limited ways, in our lives. And by the barakat of that, Allah will spread it further. But if we also are not practicing it in our lives, then how can we expect other people to see the beauty of Islam and the beauty of Islamic law? May Allah give us all guidance and guide us to righteousness, and let us understand what our duties are, and mainly the presence of Allah, that Allah is with us, He's watching us all the time. We have to be doing what we have to do, and we have to do it in the right way as well. May Allah give us all tawfiq.